have an odd kind of portability. They can be carried over from one conceptual environment to another and serve many different purposes, like the clever bones in your shoulders that in another animal would be the joint between the wing and the body of a bird, or the flipper and body of a dolphin. We are led to these beautiful structures by physical principles, but the beauty sometimes survives when the principles themselves do not. A possible explanation was given by Niels Bohr, in speculating in 1922 about the future of his earlier theory of atomic structure. He remarked that mathematics has only a limited number of forms which we can adapt to nature, and it can happen to one that he finds the right forms by formulating entirely wrong concepts. As it happened, Bohr was right about the future of his own theory. Its underlying principles have been abandoned, but we still use some of its language and methods of calculation. It is precisely in the application of pure mathematics to physics that the effectiveness of aesthetic judgments is most amazing. It has become a commonplace that mathematicians are driven in their work by the wish to construct formalisms that are conceptually beautiful. The English mathematician G. H. Hardy explained that mathematical patterns, like those of the painters or the poets, must be beautiful. The ideas, like the colors or the words, must fit together in a harmonious way. Beauty is the first test. There is no permanent place for ugly mathematics. And yet, mathematical structures that confessedly are developed by mathematicians because they seek a sort of beauty are often found later to be extraordinarily valuable by the physicist. For illustration, let us return to the example of non-Euclidean geometry and general relativity. After Euclid, mathematicians tried for 2 millennia to learn whether the different assumptions underlying Euclid's geometry were logically independent of each other. If the postulates were not independent, if some of them could be deduced from the others, then the unnecessary postulates could be dropped, yielding a more economical and hence more beautiful formulation of geometry. This effort came to a head in the early years of the 19th century when the prince of geometers, Carl Friedrich Gauss and others, developed a non-Euclidean geometry for a sort of curved space that satisfied all Euclid's postulates except the fifth. This showed that Euclid's fifth postulate is indeed logically independent of the other postulates. The new geometry was developed in order to settle a historic question about the foundations of geometry, not at all because anyone thought it applied to the real world. Non-Euclidean geometry was then extended by one of the greatest of all mathematicians, Georg Friedrich Bernhard Riemann, to a general theory of curved spaces of 2 or 3 or any number of dimensions.